to Superb Owl IV. Something like that?
No, we did IV three now?
We did three last year. We've done. Well, we've done six of the. This will be six, but the two are with the Be a Design cast.
And this is the fourth IV. This is the fourth Superb Owl, isn't it?
This is like your version of like the first two Super Bowls were NFL, AFL.
Yeah, they didn't really count.
Whereas the first two of yours were BA Design Group, so it's.
So this is.
The BA Design Group ones, I think we numbered based on whatever episode they were on. Oh. They weren't numbered as. They were just like, you know, BA Design
just
cast.
Just like the first two Super Bowls.
Yeah. Five, Roman 1, 1, 1.
I was going to say.
No, but they weren't even. It wasn't even like Superb Owl 1. It was like a BA Design cast.
No, because that was me.
Five,
but,
one,
that's,
one,
but that's
one.
What I'm saying. Yeah. The Super Bowl, they retroactively put the Roman numerals on.
Because the Superb Owl name was like me misspeaking on.
That's
the
true.
Third
it
one,
was.
Maybe?
No,
was.
I think
that was awesome.
When I was wearing the Burger King mask.
It was like the second one. That
I said it accidentally, and then Nate started laughing, and that became the name.
That was frightening.
All right, if anyone wants to chime in here, 36point.com
yeah.
for more information. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was a game on, and we have with us Tom Nemitz is will be running the show. Tom, you can introduce the other guests here. I'm Donovan Beery.
All right, cool. Thanks, Donovan. To my right, your left, depending on how you're sitting on the radio, listening. Steve Gordon.
We don't even run this in stereo.
It could be on the radio.
So all of us in, I think we're standing in a straight row.
Yeah. Depending on if you look at your computer while sitting backward.
Podcast. The Theater of the Mind.
Oh, I like it.
All about imagination.
What's up?
Ashley McFeely.
Hi.
Yeah, the voice.
I don't like talking until I'm introduced, so.
The voice is back.
Yeah, now I've entered.
And Donovan Beery, who you all know.
Ashley just hovered in from the ceiling, too,
she did.
Once she was introduced.
On her
awesome.
Voice.
She teleported in.
We paid $300 for that fog machine. It better have been worth it.
That's true. Good story.
All right. This year, for the show, what
did we even
introduce
Steve?
We did.
Okay.
You can do it again if you want.
I forgot.
No.
Steve Gordon, ladies and gentlemen.
Twice.
Wait.
RDQLUS.com.
Yeah, you got to do McFeely twice.
Please.
The voice.
Well, we bought those strobe lights. We can bring her in on those.
Yeah,
strobe
lights. The fog machine needs warming up again for the second round.
Cue the strobe lights.
What are we talking about today?
They're queued up.
Stuff.
Ashley McFeely, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Yes.
Much better.
That's good.
All right. What we've done is we have five categories that we've broken the commercials from last night into.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go through and do a little round table, and everybody's going to talk about their favorite one in each one of those categories, and then we'll pick our favorites out of those, and then we're going to pick our favorite commercial out of all of the Super Bowl ads from last night. The categories are cars, movies, beverages and food, retail and online and shopping, and then potpourri. That's a little Jeopardy category, right? Which is anything that doesn't fit into one of those other four categories.
Tom's very upset because he had a Jason Statham category.
I know.
Jason Statham was not in any commercials this year.
Yeah, what's
Rob McGuire is going to be so disappointed.
It just ruined him. Oh, yeah, Rob.
What's up with that?
Rob is not here because he's probably celebrating due to his team actually winning.
But if he's listening, feel free to sing Tom Jones songs to
yourself. Do it. And eat way too many cheeseburgers. Didn't he win?
He did.
Yes.
One bite.
I had to move offices after that.
The stains never came out of the carpet.
Good night.
Can't shake the stench of it.
Stench of the King. So that should be a movie right there, Stench of the King.
I like the sound of it.
Starring Jason Statham.
Yes.
Yeah, he has to be in it.
Jason Statham in Stench of the King. If only I had a deep enough voice to really do a trailer justice on that. Awesome.
Auto-tune.
Yes. Auto-tune that. All right. Let's do movies first for the category.
Nice.
There were only three movies that had ads last night.
Yeah.
We picked the categories.
No, there were like five, weren't there?
No, there were only
three. There was that Disney cartoonish movie.
Yeah.
That was...
There was John Carter superhero.
There was
The Dictator.
John Carter.
That was not
during
the
Dictator wasn't during the game.
Oh, was it a half?
A lot of them.
The only three that were during the game were the G.I. Joe one, the Avengers from Marvel, and the Disney one.
I read that Hollywood kind of softly boycotted spending the money when they could do it before or after.
Okay, sure, all right.
So those are the three that were on during the game. What do you guys think? Let's start with Donovan.
All right, you know, I was going to say Avengers because that's what Nate would say, but...
Hi, Nate.
Yeah, hey, Nate.
What's up?
You can defend yourself, but, you know, here's the... I'm gonna go with G.I. Joe, and here's the reason. Because that first movie, the last third of it, disappointed me so poorly. I want to act like it never happened again. And this G.I. Joe movie looks as if they're acting like that first never even existed. And this might be the movie I wanted to see when I was 10.
I'm very excited
about this.
Sent a message out that said they brought the starters in. They put the fresh-faced kids back on the bench.
I saw
in
Bruce Willis.
Bruce, like you resurrect Bruce Willis out of the ashes to take the place of Channing Tatum.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm all in.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with G.I. Joe because it's the movie that excited me the most. The Avengers one, I get why people are excited about, but it was like, meh.
Did they debut a new trailer just for?
I don't know. Chime in, please.
I'm going to go with Hunger Games, only because my wife has read the books and she's been in my ear about it, and now I'm excited to see new trailers and I get more and more of the story. I'm definitely one who will see the movie first and read the books after to avoid any disappointment.
That's a good call on the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't pick a movie category. Sorry to disappoint.
Ooh.
I know, but because... There was nothing in my genre of interest.
Okay.
It was like guy, kid.
That's true.
Fair enough.
I'm shrugging right now.
But you're also a kickboxing badass. You can get down with G.I. Joe.
It's true. I'll go with G.I. Joe out of all of them.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's two votes for G.I. Joe. I think we have a winner for that category.
Tom, do you have picks or are you going with?
Not on movies, because first G.I. Joe movie was just, that was like seriously the worst movie I've seen in probably 3 years.
Once again, they have now agreed it doesn't exist. So that alone,
so it's like
that
Rocky
alone
Five.
Is
they
why
they pulled a Hulk.
What movie? You mean Rocky Balboa?
Yes.
Yeah, they totally pulled a Marvel. Like those first couple didn't exist.
It's not a reboot. It's literally just they've thrown it away.
Yeah, they literally have. It wasn't even billed as a sequel. It's called something else. It's like G.I.
Yeah, they got
Joe.
A whole new Cobra Commander.
They will come to your
new
house.
New outfit, new actor, just everything.
They will come to your house and destroy the DVDs if you have it.
Yeah, they will.
They will come in the middle of the night and confiscate them.
Luckily, I only watched it on Netflix.
Yeah, that's solid because they're not going to steal your Wi-Fi.
Nah, they can't do that.
They can't prove that you watched it and it wasn't your neighbors stealing your Wi-Fi to watch it. They were too embarrassed to watch it on their own.
Cobra Wi-Fi pirates.
Nice. All right. We're going to save Cars for a little bit, because that one had by far the most ads of any of the categories.
They did not save money like Hollywood. They're in the automobile industry.
Really competitive category.
Any and everybody did a car ad.
I love their car ads.
I think I had a car ad.
So we're going to come back to that one. We're going to go right to...
I think Saturn had a car ad. I don't even think they're in business.
We're going to come back to Cars.
All right, what's next?
Beverages and food. Now, this is interesting to me, this one, because typically it's the category with the most ads because Bud Light will buy like 10 spots.
Right.
Which they kind of did.
And they just throw anything and everything against the wall to see what sticks.
Uh-huh.
And they might have 8 ads that are absolutely horrible, but everybody forgets them because there's the one that's really fun.
And then the other 10 ads will be off of the same thing.
This year they really didn't do that. They had really only one of their kind of traditional Super Bowl ads and then a couple... For Bud Light Platinum, which were just kind of like an ad that you would see not on the Super Bowl. It's really strange.
Is Bud Light Platinum their way of saying that Bud Light is terrible, and so they're actually trying to make Bud Light that has taste better?
I doubt that it's going to taste any damn different. I think that they know that people
it's
will
different
buy
packaging.
And you have a Kanye West song behind it, which Lord knows he doesn't need any more money.
Give it to him anyway.
Exactly.
By buying Bud Light Platinum.
Exactly. So it's like Bud Light Platinum. Kanye drinks it. What? So, I put for beverage, the based on a true story. The Prohibition ad, if indeed...
From Budweiser, yeah that was
if
good.
Indeed it was based on a true story, that would be kind of cool, because...
No, Prohibition happened.
No.
I don't know if you know about that.
Yeah, I saw a Ken Burns documentary.
They did not sell Budweiser for 13 years. That is the true story part of it.
Okay, I'm going to go on the other side of this. Like, look at my notes. It says pointless Budweiser Prohibition.
It does.
I thought it was a pointless commercial.
It does say
I didn't
that.
Make it, I didn't make sense.
You didn't
it
like
didn't make
the image
off.
Of the Clydesdales bringing the... It was like,
no.
That was like a Clint Eastwood movie where like they're really dramatic.
That's why I said,
who cares?
That's why I said is if
who
that,
cares?
I kind of agree with you. Mine just says intriguing.
Intriguing.
Not that I liked
figure out
it.
Why this year?
Well, and why, also why, they made it a point to put based on a true story on the screen. So I'm like, did this really happen? Did Budweiser A just implicate themselves as to making liquor during Prohibition? And
now,
then...
Now, when I took a tour, they told me that they didn't. They converted to a bottled water, right?
No, they had a... they
in order to
we went to the
working.
St. Louis plant during an AIGA leadership retreat. Well, after the retreat. And they had like a cartoon character because they started selling malted, like a malted milk product.
But see, if their commercial is true,
to kids.
They brought that case of Budweiser out as soon as Prohibition was over.
Oh, the minute,
the
minute was
over. To the president. Officially, yeah. Historically.
See, then they lied.
They came down Washington Avenue and gave it to.
Or maybe it was loosely based, like you said, Prohibition actually happened. True
yeah,
story.
Yeah. That's as realistic
story.
As the movies are based on true stories.
Right. It says they're being as loose with that as Hollywood typically is.
Right.
It is technically a true story. It just might have been like 6 months after it ended. But.
Then I will side with the voice sitting next to me and say pointless.
All right. Donovan?
Well, you guys haven't given your pick.
Oh, that would have been my pick, but since...
Well, what's your backup? You got a backup?
No backups.
For drinks?
There wasn't a lot
beverages
for drinks.
Or food?
The only other beverage
food
I...
Food is also in there.
The only beverage and food I remember was
the... Pepsi?
Yeah.
You had the Pepsi spot with Elton John and Flava Flav.
That was horrible.
This, by the way, that was my pick.
That was...
And
here's the question
horrible.
For you. Now, here's the question for you, though.
With Elton John?
But here's the question. The teenage pop star singing... Can any of you name who that was and where she's famous from?
I cannot.
I didn't know her name either. I had to go look it up. Apparently, she's the winner of X Factor, which nobody watched, so that's why nobody knew.
And that's fine, but then the age demographic between
Elton John
and her was a blatant...
It was awful.
It was a blatant grab for everybody.
And the talent gap, let's be honest.
I thought that it was over-the-top, ridiculous, that...
Over-the-top.
That the whole Pepsi for All... Ending with Flavor Flav, and it was so bad it just made me laugh, and that's why I'm voting for it.
Yeah, we were sitting at the bar watching the game.
It was everything terrible about it about
horrible.
What a Super Bowl commercial could be all at once.
It was very, very bad.
Thus, it hit every note that I wanted it to be.
I was a little disappointed because we were sitting at the bar watching the game.
It was bad.
And the laughter that came up in the place when Flavor Flav showed up kind of disappointed me in humanity.
Yeah.
Because it was the loudest laugh.
And Flavor Flav was, he was at the game. Did you see that he hugged Tom Coughlin when he was walking off the field?
Did he really?
Yeah.
What?
Was he wearing a clock?
I do not remember.
Or the horns? The Viking helmet?
No, I don't think he had the helmet on. I the picture I saw, it was from the, you know, it was covered.
I'm telling
bizarre.
You,
they wore the clock.
Reality TV taken over.
I do have a vote, and argue it will after this, but I put down the Coca-Cola commercial. And the reason being...
Which one?
It doesn't matter.
They had
this
two of them
why.
With polar bears.
The polar bear one, I know, is, like, overdone, horrible, whatever. But, like, I just wrote down that I've never seen, like, a raunchy Coca-Cola commercial. Like, in the mix of all of these, like, you know, like, commercials of, like, Mountain Dew or Pepsi. And, like, you got your rock stars, rappers, hoochie girls dancing around and stuff. Coca-Cola, Super Bowl, family... That's why I voted for it.
It's always been their deal on the Super Bowl.
They've never lit Michael Jackson's hair on fire either.
No, they didn't. They didn't.
They never had Britney Spears, you know, pseudo stripping.
They didn't.
They've always been classy.
See,
that's their kind of niche.
I definitely dig them for classy, but I think they should take a break. Bring back the people walking up the mountain together, singing Kumbaya and teaching the world to sing, because the bears are so painful to watch anymore. Like, really, he's crossing his paws and wishing.
I agree.
I was just
agree.
Ah. See, but you're right, it's wholesome. And there is a lack of wholesome. So.
And it draws a very distinct difference between them and their major competitor.
Exactly.
Because you got Pepsi, you know, this obnoxious ad with this woman, you know, this girl singing so loudly
Mountain Dew is
that
obnoxious.
She shatters a window.
Yeah.
Dr.
And Flava
Pepper
Flav being
is obnoxious.
Flava Flav.
Yeah.
You have, you know, Doritos with their, I don't know what they were doing there with their...
Well, Doritos, they do that
Doritos
content.
I could talk all, yeah.
Yeah, they crowdsource
Doritos,
theirs.
I got some stuff.
Yeah, I'm ashamed to like any of them because of the crowdsourcing aspect.
You know, we're all about spec work on this show.
Yeah.
You know, we backed it since day one.
Yeah, we're all about that. Please do.
No love for Stamos getting headbutted?
I forgot that was a food ad.
Dan and Yogurt.
Oikos. The name is
Oikos,
gross.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I wasn't a fan of it because it was just, it was just poorly shot. Like,
I didn't realize it was Stamos till like 20 seconds.
Blew the budget on Stamos, couldn't afford a lighting guy.
Exactly. It was horribly lit. It looked like, it almost looked like they cut to some live shot in someone's kitchen and were like, okay, we're on, commercial time. It was bad.
It would have been funnier if Bob Saget would have been standing there laughing at him after he got headbutted. Or bring in Uncle Joey. That'd have been.
And who was she?
Just some random actress, I think.
Okay, because they
I
had
could
her.
Be wrong.
So, a site had her name listed, and
okay,
I was just like completely.
I didn't recognize her.
No, I didn't recognize.
That
her
doesn't
at
mean
all.
Anything. I'm an idiot. So,
what'd you have, Tom?
There was the M&M's ad with where he took his.
He took his
shell
shot.
Was like a clothes, and then he was dancing at a party.
Right,
that was
right.
Seemed to get a lot of laughs at the bar. I didn't have an opinion either way, I guess.
Yeah, the food ads just weren't memorable enough for me.
No, I mean, I guess my favorite one, just because it's kind of a weak field in this category, was the only traditional Super Bowl Bud Light ad with the rescue dogs, where they trained them to go fetch a beer when they say, here we go.
Oh, here we go. That yeah. one was
because
okay, that one was cool.
Because that's their new tagline that they've been
here
using
we go.
For a couple of years.
And the dog's name was Wego?
Yeah. And then it has, like, you know, the couple, they're getting ready to make out, and she says, here we go, and the dog comes and brings them a beer
right.
and they rubs
yeah.
them, and...
And they, you know
it's
what? That one had a message also. The end hanger on the commercial
it did, yeah.
was for pet adoption.
Rescue. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it had a dogs. Had a link to a website. Yeah,
that one gets my vote for that alone.
It was good for a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was odd that it was really the only, because beer ads usually are dominant in this category.
I,
there was
yeah.
really only the one.
Yeah, there was
you
only
know,
one.
You know, I'll back dog rescue for in a weak category here.
Yeah.
In a weak category, yeah, that's... Not like it's a field that gets lapped by anybody.
So that's it, man. Dog rescues.
Okay, we've got a consensus on that.
Word, capital letters.
Sounds good. Let's go on now, because I want to save the cars one, because that one is going to be fun, I think.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go to the next category, which is kind of dubiously named by me as host. Retail/online, which is kind of like...
It was
shopping
wild.
Or e-commerce, you know, just kind of all of that, you know, storefront type places, for lack of a better word.
That one was about as big as potpourri. It had a lot of stuff.
It had a lot of stuff, and from a lot of different kind of categories.
Mm-hmm.
You had everything from the Skechers ad with the pugs, which
yeah.
Donovan probably liked just because of the pugs.
I figured he would.
That was a racetrack one, right?
That was was a French bulldog.
Oh, okay, that wasn't a pug.
Oh,
yeah,
good call.
We'll edit this out. That's
yeah.
a shout to Nate.
Now, there was a pug in that Volkswagen Dark Side Barking commercial. But that commercial...
But we'll get to that.
Did not actually... Actually, I saw that on TV like a week ago.
Yeah.
No commercial has ever gotten the two dogs at my house so worked up.
Nice.
They were freaking.
Just going off.
I'm still not sure how that has anything to do with VW.
It doesn't. If commercial had a face and it weren't necessarily a dog face, I'd want to punch it.
Yeah.
That one, I thought it was, here's the thing, and I know Donnie Deutsch has the Volkswagen ad, and the ad world likes to kiss his ass.
We can come back to cars, though, too.
Oh, yeah, we're not on cars yet, right?
No.
Okay.
Dogs. We were talking about dogs.
Oh, yeah, that's how we got on it.
That's
Thank
how we got
you.
On it.
All right.
Make feel good, saves the day. All right.
The ad that I wanted to mention here first was the Samsung Galaxy ad.
Yeah.
With the stylus and the, like... Awful.
Yeah.
I mean, Donovan will disagree with me because we argued about it last night. With the darkness. This, you know, remember they're about 7 or 8 years ago, they were kind of this faux 70s kind of arena rock band
mm-hmm.
that had the one song.
I believe in a thing called love.
You got
yeah.
it.
Yeah. That, to me, someone had a perfect tweet, and I retweeted it. It said, way to set technology back 20 years. I had a stylus with my palm.
Right.
And that screen looks as big... is an iPad, so I don't know why
you
need
a stylus.
That's
my problem with... They use that as a big selling point. If I want a screen that big, I'll buy a tablet.
Or like, ooh, a stylus. Or guess what? If I want a stylus, I'll go get one that works with my iPhone and
right,
iPad.
Right, right.
It's not something new. They haven't yet broached the subject of the tech specs of the phone.
There's so many better things to sell that with.
They've only mentioned how big the screen is and that there's a stylus.
See,
nothing.
I wrote down that I thought that commercial showed a lot of features. Like, I don't think the phone's, like, that fantastic, but, I mean, for whatever the phone could offer, it showed And maybe that's all it could offer. I don't know.
But it showed, playing devil's advocate.
But
love it.
It showed everything, like, that it has. Like, ooh, you can make the screen. Ooh, you can do video with it. Ooh, it has the pin. Like, in that little bit of time with that little song, they did a really good job of showing everything.
See, I'm willing to give you that. Here's my thing. If you're going to make a point, don't blow your own building up with the fanboy at the end going, well, that was, you know, overblown.
Wasn't
or whatever.
Brian Urlacher in there, like, inexplicably?
I don't know.
3 seconds?
Yes, he was. He was in there.
And then
he autographed it with his finger. Yeah. Not with the stylus, with his finger.
And see, I just know that at the end, if you're going to have a mock Apple fanboy, don't have him make a good point at the end of your commercial. That was way overblown.
So, okay, and at the beginning
of
that...
And he actually says that.
At the beginning of that ad, they were standing in line like they were waiting in line for the iPhone. Is that right? That's
because they've had a whole series of ads leading up.
Exactly.
Like, nobody's waiting in line for the iPhone.
And not only is it not relevant, they had it at the Super Bowl and nothing was releasing that day.
Yeah.
Like, that only works if you're going to make fun of a release day. If your ad is anywhere near a release day for an Apple product.
It's like
the only thing that has going for it is that they've had a series of those ads leading up to the Super Bowl where they've made fun of the Apple fanboys waiting in line.
Right.
And they've kind of made fun of them. And
even still, they've...
And those are awful, too.
And they're total haters because they've never made fun of the specs of the iPhone. They've only made fun of
the
waiting
user.
For the phone. Yeah, the users. The user traits. And so it's hilarious because no one I know that owns an iPhone would be offended by what they're saying because it's not our demographic.
Right. Yeah.
And we still all have our phones.
Right. So it's like they came up with a comeback like 2 weeks later.
Exactly.
It's too late.
No, you're burned. Burn, Apple.
My phone's better. Derby, you're stupid. 2 weeks later on an instant message. One of the other ones in there I thought was interesting was the MetLife ad. And they've used the Snoopy characters for years.
Right, yeah.
And this one had not only Charlie Brown, but it had Scooby-Doo and the Jetsons.
It had classics.
It had classics.
Yeah.
It had He-Man riding Cringer, Battle Cat.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Had Transformers. Had all these, like, ridiculous cartoon characters all coming in.
Like, what was the point in addition to Snoopy, did they say?
It had Charlie Brown at the beginning, and then it was something about being for everybody, I think, was the tagline.
Mm. Yeah. That's a tough correlation.
I liked it just
because,
like,
caught
we
my
do,
eye because, yeah.
Yeah. We do extra... associate just Snoopy all the time.
Because they've been using the Snoopy stuff for, like, 20 years, as long as I can remember.
It's damn near their logo anymore. Mm-hmm.
It is, yeah. The Charlie Brown, you know, Snoopy stuff is MetLife in terms of, like, it's almost like their mascot.
It really is.
The Affleck
because MetLife blimp has
Snoopy.
Well,
Snoopy's
on
just bringing along his friend He-Man now.
Yeah, Battle Cat, you know.
Yeah, they're
hanging
just hanging. Yeah,
it's cool.
Cats, dogs get together.
They bro down over the weekend.
It had like all of the Hanna-Barbera characters in it too, like Pepe Le Pew was in there.
If
like,
you're gonna pay licensing, I say use everything you can get.
It's true.
They probably threw him in like, hey. You know, Mogila Gorilla hasn't been in anything for 30 years. You want?
Yeah, was Grape Ape in there?
Yes.
If Grape Ape was in there, I'm on board.
I think he was.
Oh, man.
Grape Ape.
Oh, man.
Awesome. Pay for Voltaire, get a free Grape Ape.
There you go.
Nice. One of the other ads that I thought was strange, because I watched the pregame show when I was at home before the game, or had it on in the background anyway. Century 21 ran, like, honest to God, like 10 ads. During the pregame show.
Yes.
Promoting their ad during the game. Said, oh, they showed, you know, their agent.
And then the ad was a letdown.
Deion Sanders or with Donald Trump or Apollo Anton Ono.
Yeah, Apollo Ono was in there.
Said, you know, tune into our ad in the third quarter of the game to see how our agent stacks up to random celebrity.
And it was super lame.
I was like, wow, this must be going to be like a 2-minute ad because why would they buy 10 spots in the pregame, you know, every commercial break to promote this? Yeah. Then they get to the ad. It's like a 30-second ad that was just really...
Well, it was poorly shot conceived in terms of she was skating against Anton Ono.
That's a lot of setup for a payoff that really didn't pull it off for me.
Honestly, that falls in the sex sales category. It was just more covert because she was a redheaded hottie insurance agent. And really, it had no correlation to what was about to go on. It was lame.
Although Deion Sanders, if he could really bake cookies like that.
Oh, you thought that I meant she was sex sales? I was talking about Deion and his tangerine suit.
That's like the least flamboyant thing he's ever worn.
Yeah, that was actually subdued. Good thing they didn't have Michael
Irvin. But the cookies with his face on them were solid. prime time in the in the kitchen. GoDaddy, of course, had their ads. Go to our website and see nudity.
I'm so not upset about GoDaddy at this point because I'm like, if you fall for it, that's your fault. Like, of course you're not. Even when you go to the website, you're not going to see anything.
Right.
How do I know? I've been guilty of trying.
And you know, there's nowhere else on the internet to see nudity but at GoDaddy.com.
Right.
With Danica Patrick and what's her name and, from Biggest Loser.
Jillian Michaels.
No, she's no longer on Biggest Loser. I think she just left it.
She broke off and did her own branding thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then, again, it's like the obvious innuendo. They do it every single time. GoDaddy girls coming to set on their previous commercial, and they're like, I can't believe we're doing this. And really, are you convinced that something spectacular is about to happen? Because if so, by all means, be upset that you were fooled by the ad.
Knock yourself out, right.
Yeah, but at this point, it's like, you know, shame on you, shame on me sort of thing. Yeah.
They're not even funny.
They're not. Yeah. That's why I'm just like, it's not even worth being upset about.
Yeah.
They're just strange, really.
I'm over them.
The only other one was...
Oh, wait. Before we move on, I read an interesting quote. Again, Twitter rears its beautiful newsworthy head. The inventor or... CEO of GoDaddy got his start selling Bibles.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes.
But, you know, the Bible's got some juicy stuff. If you want to go back...
Best read ever.
If you want to go for more stuff in there...
Best read ever.
They don't tease you like
GoDaddy does. We're talking gambling. We got hoes.
Murders.
Murders in the Bible.
Concubines.
Woo!
Yeah.
The Bible is a spicy read.
Hardcore.
Amen.
Yeah.
Nice.
So they do not disappoint. Maybe he should have learned a little bit from the book he was selling.
Yeah, it's a good call.
On that note, let's talk about the kid who was trying to hold in, going to the bathroom, and ends up taking a piss.
Yeah, that got my gross award. I was like, I know it's coming. I know it's coming, and I'm going to be mad that it does.
Because he knew what the payoff was. He just didn't expect his sister to be there.
I don't get how that is...
Has
anything to do with... Oh, is it be-free for taxes?
Yeah, their thing was be-free. That was their tagline.
Free to pee was actually the name of the ad.
So that relates to getting taxes done for free?
Man, no correlation.
Because they don't mention the word tax anywhere in the ad.
I'm okay with, like, these are... I mean, these are commercials. They're a loose affiliation. They're fine. But that's got, like, zero.
And if that kid's really paying taxes, he's got one hell of a paper route.
All I remember was him peeing in the pool. I'm glad you guys brought up what it was for, because I didn't remember.
Yeah.
I had to go look, too.
You know, there was another ad like that. We'll talk later about cars.
Well, I'm going to go. I mean, my pick is that CareerBuilder.com, the business trip, just because
the monkeys
just cracked me up.
The monkeys were back?
Yeah.
I love the monkeys.
And at the end, you know, he's laying in bed with the monkeys because they're all in the same hotel room at the business trip, and one just kind of reaches over and touches his junk.
It was a good one.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Oh, the monkeys, man.
But see, at least it kind of relates. Like, you don't want to work with these coworkers. They're going with business trips with you.
Yeah.
And they're in the boardroom, like, making fun of his presentation and stuff. Yeah.
Kick me sign on his back.
Right, yeah.
It was good.
See, that one hasn't gotten enough mileage yet. They can keep playing that one.
Yeah. Now, has the E-Trade baby gotten enough mileage?
Way too much mileage.
Okay. They're on, like, the third or fourth baby
There's
now.
Nothing funny about it to me.
All right.
Because I saw a photo of the original one, and he's, like, five
Oh, yeah,
now.
Yeah, there's a different baby.
Here's what I'll say about the E-Trade baby. He looks like Eli Manning. Like, the E-Trade baby looks like
Eli
Manning.
The current
one? Yeah.
You're right.
Because the current one is
Compare.
A little bit different, yeah.
Compare.
Right.
Did the last one look like whoever was winning the Super Bowl that year? Did they just swap them out?
Maybe. No. Subliminal message.
Is it
Aaron Rodgers, E-Trade baby?
They get a deal, like whoever they think's going to win the Super Bowl goes to Disneyland, or it's an E-Trade commercial.
Yep. They clone him into an E-Trade
The magic
baby.
Of facial digital.
You know what's really creepy, though, is CBS on their pregame show all season, they do an interview with the E-Trade baby. James Brown, the poor guy.
Really?
Does this, like, 3-minute interview every week where he asks him for his picks.
He's a respected journalist, and he has to interview the E-Trade baby.
No, he's got
to
do that. It's
I'm so over the E-Trade babies that it doesn't make sense. It's not funny to me.
Yeah.
All right, what's your guys' pick? What are the picks here?
So what's our consensus on this category?
I don't know that there can be. I think it was really wide. You know, we know about GoDaddy, what was the Skechers one?
That was one of the
that
dogs.
That was the dogs.
Can I throw in the Bridgestone one? With the Bridgestone football?
I wasn't sure where to put
Bridgestone
that, so I didn't know if it would come up.
I kind of like that one.
Yeah.
It was product specific, and they stayed on theme.
And they had two of them.
They had two. So
and
they had
one leading up to the game that they aired, you know, a couple weeks ago where they were introducing the concept.
Yeah. Well, and anything that has Steve Nash in it cracks me up because he's kind of a comic foil. I love it. He's dribbling around the baby. Like, what is
right,
that?
Yeah.
That's our sleeping baby tester. And Nash is dribbling and kind of shrugs at the screen. I like that. I'll go with that one.
I went and got my tire checked today, and they actually had a Bridgestone football.
Did they really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, nice. So,
they're
swag?
They really made it?
Mm-hmm. Nice.
They kind of upped my vote for that one.
Aikman did a good job in it, too, when he throws the ball.
And it curves.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Bridgestone. Good one.
I could live with that.
Yeah.
Well, that wins the vote.
Okay.
Well played.
And I didn't even have that written down here because I didn't know where to put it.
Make feel goods.
I thought maybe it would come up in the potpourri category.
My potpourri's got to smell good. It can't
man,
smell like
my,
tire.
My potpourri is full of Adriana Lima, so.
Oh, there you go.
No good.
All right.
Well, let's take a mid-break here to introduce a few things. One, we're going to introduce a new event here in town for the local people who hang around Omaha. We're going to start doing like a get-together after work once a month and call it 36 Pints.
Awesome.
Like
that was my 36 point.
Very cool.
So we don't know. Follow 36point.com. We'll eventually, first one will probably be at the Homie Inn.
Nice.
Actually, second one. The first one is actually 11/19, you know, when we're recording here.
Yes. Right.
Just turning 10.
Yeah.
So we're having an open house March 5th.
Decimal.
From 4 to 7. Just swing by.
Nice.
I have printed invitations for all of you.
Fantastic.
In the other room.
Swanky swank.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congrats on that.
For everyone else, you can go to 1119.com/RSVP and it will redirect you to our Facebook event page.
Very cool.
Awesome.
So, and that's kind of the announcements.
Love it, man.
All right. There we go. 36 Pints, 11/19 open house.
Good stuff.
Cool.
When's the plan for the first 36 Pints?
I think we're going to, well, since the first one's technically going to be this open house, I think we'll do the next one in April. Probably beginning of April. We don't have a date yet.
Dude, we got to use Hump to pump it.
Okay.
We'll announce it.
What's this Hump? Now, I've been to the last Hump.
Yeah. Hump is actually the RGC Ridiculous Creative event on the last Wednesday of every month. So we are going to, I'll help you announce 36 Pint at that point.
Maybe we should do the second Wednesdays then.
Ooh.
So that there would be like
a second and a fourth every other week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, then it becomes a bi-weekly.
Yeah. Collaboration.
Right, that just happened, folks.
Yeah.
All right.
Well played.
Well, this first one's set up. It's on a Monday. But.
I don't like it, Donovan.
I'll move the open house. I will reprint the invites and resend them.
You invite everybody here to announce the actual date.
Yes.
Everyone, get in close. Gather around.
Best party
Come
ever.
Back in 2 days. Sweet, sweet.
All right. All right, back to the show.
What's next?
All right. Next is the category that we've been saving and teasing since we started, which is cars.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's always a lot of car ads in the Super Bowl, but man, this year there was...
Yo, shouts out to Detroit.
They brought it home.
Detroit really killed it this
year. They came back.
They really did.
Including, we can even put in, I have this in potpourri, but we can put in a little Clint Eastwood for this one too.
Yeah.
With his halftime ad.
I think that's a car ad.
I think it is. It was a dissertation, and I think it was a car ad.
Even though that's halftime, and they don't know, do they even count those as Super Bowl ads?
They do.
I think we should. Yeah, I think we should count
those. Those go for the same rate that the other ones do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And Madonna actually brought it much better than
the
Black Eyed Peas.
Can we talk about the halftime show?
She took hate on Twitter. I don't get it.
Hey, this is the halftime of the podcast. Let's talk about the halftime show.
All right,
yay.
Let's do it.
Okay.
What was the dude bouncing on the high wire act? That was
awesome.
Yeah.
That was so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I know where people were coming from with the energy level. It wasn't the Madonna we were used to, but most people haven't seen her live in 20 years.
What do you mean, not the energy? She was traped in by an army.
No. I like it. I'm saying
it's
maybe.
It's a 12-minute show. It's hard to have that energy when you're...
Well, and again, most
she can't
people...
strip naked either like she did before. I mean, that's... You can't do that.
She's 53.
She can't do like a virgin in a wedding dress. It's not going to work at a Super Bowl halftime show.
I fully agree, but the question was why was she getting hate? I just think Okay, I put it like this. I like the show. I think she did a great job. I think she was better than the Black Eyed Peas. However... When Prince did the halftime show,
yes.
It was kind of like he wrecked it for everybody.
The Purple Yoda from Minnesota ruined it for
everybody.
And
then you do Purple Rain and it actually starts raining. Only Prince can make that happen.
With purple lights that made it look like exactly. Purple rain, right?
I'm like, did this dude cart in his own rain for the Super Bowl halftime show?
Because he's just that good.
You can't beat it. And I've actually seen him live. Yes, he can do that.
He is.
Madonna did a great job. It's kind of like going to New York City to watch the ball drop.
She wasn't following up Prince. She was following up that Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah. I think she killed it. I think she did a good job.
Although, we were strangely riveted because of the bar. They turned one TV over to the Puppy Bowl, which I'd never heard of before.
Yeah, and halftime of Puppy Bowl was just kittens playing.
What?
And it was like they would just cut from one shot to Animal another with no
Planet,
commentator.
Animal Planet has been doing this like the ninth year. So I think somebody realized that, hey, you know, let's do like counter programming. And what can we do that would get us like free publicity?
Right.
Well, how many reporters cover the Super Bowl? Quite a few.
Yeah, hundreds, thousands maybe.
So they're like, well, what if we just ran the Puppy Bowl where they built a mini little stadium? It's like an indoor thing. And then puppies come in and then they grab a play toy and then if they make it into the end zone with the toy, touchdown.
Right.
And they got a ref that comes, picks them up and hugs them and kisses the puppy.
Okay.
And then at halftime, they just swap it out and it's just kittens playing.
That's the halftime show?
Yeah, and it said Kitty Halftime Show.
So it was just kittens
running around with like toys and running up little ramps. And, like, wrestling with each other and rolling around.
So
Cats are damn cute, man.
We're at a sports bar, and they turned over, like, a couple of the TVs
to
Animal Planet. And I'm like, Tom, when is the last time this bar
has ever had Animal Planet on?
Other than, like, flipping through accidentally.
Yeah.
Well, that particular bar has only been open about 6 weeks, so I'm guessing never.
Oh, I love kitties.
So I'm saying that's a score for that channel.
My jaw is on the floor. I'm so confused with this.
Kitties.
I don't know.
That's what happened.
You're watching the wrong channel, I guess.
That's what happens. Yeah. Halftime show was good. You knew somebody was going to screw up, and I knew it was going to be MIA.
I don't know what the big deal was.
She flipped the camera off.
But it was so far away, you could... I mean, if you weren't really...
It was when she was on camera, but they blurred it.
Oh, yeah. Is that right?
No, because she was right there. Okay. She flipped him off pretty good.
That wasn't the moment I thought.
Yeah, but they blurred it out.
Okay.
And so, and then she did let shit slip out.
Well, she's a little bit of a loose cannon.
But that's the thing is, I knew that was going to happen.
But my thing is,
I don't care if that is your deal. You're on stage with Madonna. Get your shit together.
Right.
Like, you don't
she's
bite
probably
that.
Mad Madonna wasn't making out with her.
I'm like, don't bite that hand that feeds you.
Upstage Madonna.
And that could be the rest of your career with all types of good love. You know, Nicki Minaj, who's probably way more raunchy than MIA, held it together.
Knew that was not smart.
Yeah.
Do your 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's not even your show.
Yeah.
Did Madonna choose the other people that were out there with her?
Yes.
Okay.
Because she actually has a single with Nicki Minaj and MIA.
Okay.
That's her new song.
That's her new single that's out. LMFAO did a remix of that song. So she invited them up. And then I think she's just a big fan of CeeLo Green.
Well, who isn't?
That's true.
But... LMFAO, I mean, they're like a parody act almost. That was hilarious.
That was crazy. But she's always been, it was almost like she was the godmother because she's been kind of a bastion of dance music even before called dance music. She was Lady Gaga before Lady Gaga. She's the blueprint. So it kind of made sense because her last four albums, she's tapped up-and-coming electronic producers and literally made their careers. And so I didn't think they were too out of place being up there.
Yeah, I enjoyed the whole show. I thought she did great. I thought the stage was really cool.
Yeah,
I thought like
that
the
was cool.
Performers were really cool. My one confusion was like at the very end of the show when it was all over, like it said world peace. And I was
that was a shot to Ron Artest.
Well, it was a shot to Ron Artest even tweeted that. He's like, I want to kiss Madonna right now or something. Yeah.
Meta world peace.
Yeah, for me, that was like R. Kelly singing a gospel song at the end of his raunchy record. Like, and by the way, we love Jesus.
Yeah. I was so confused.
Yeah.
He's doing more tapping in the closet, I heard. Is that right?
Uh-huh. Probably. I wouldn't put it past him.
Love it.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Robert.
Cars.
All right.
Vroom.
We're back for the second half.
So much good stuff in the second half, man. Who got the coin flip?
I think somebody deferred.
Yeah.
I think
New England deferred and took the ball to begin the half.
Yeah. Well, who got the coin flip here?
Who got the coin flip here? I believe Ashley won the coin flip and deferred.
She deferred to
me. She would never defer.
So she gets to start out the cars category.
All right, so cars. I'll start with the Chevy one.
Yes. Which one?
The Chevy End of the World.
The
Twinkie.
I
am going to die in my car. I do not have a
that was
truck.
Awesome. And I love that you brought up Twinkie.
Because you have a Ford.
Because I love the sadness too. They were like, what was his name? Like, where's Bob? Bob didn't make it.
He
drove a Ford. And then he goes, oh, can I have one? And he points to the Twinkie. There was a lot of that cross promo going on. Where they were blatantly introducing other products into the mix.
I liked it.
Giving Hostess a shout-out since they just filed bankruptcy.
Yeah. It's almost like, hey, Hostess, don't worry. We got the tab on this this $3 million. You're in there with us.
Yeah, that was a good ad.
It was just funny all the way through.
That was a solid one.
Now, the other, it wasn't Chevy, but it was. We talked about it a little bit before halftime. Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. I think that's a car commercial.
It's kind of a, I hate to admit it, that was... I like those sentimental ads. That was really good.
I mean, all he's doing is selling cars.
But
so
you know who it was? It was Chrysler.
It was Chrysler and Jeep and Dodge.
And Chrysler has set a tone with that because they did the
one
previously.
Because they did M&M last year.
Yes.
With the imported choir, from Detroit.
Yep. And the whole
which
tone.
Which is just brilliant.
They never once mentioned a car. They mentioned the industry and the city of Detroit.
It's a branding ad more than it
very
is.
Very much. And I think they've taken a stance that no other car company has in backing the people and the city that actually gave it. I mean, the nickname of Detroit is Motown.
Uh-huh.
And so they've over the last year, they've put a lot into the people and the city, and I think that garners a lot of support.
Well, the amazing thing is for so many years they were kind of ashamed to be from Detroit.
Right.
You know, to be a car maker from Detroit was a bad thing.
Right.
You know, Japanese cars were
more efficient, smaller,
and cheaper, and you know they were better built. And
yeah,
you know, German cars were stylish and upscale.
Yeah,
you know,
super technological.
You know, to be from Detroit was a bad thing, and now they've embraced that and said, "Yeah, we're from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're tough." And
it almost
this is who
it,
we
it
are.
It was almost like a very soft, very subtle shame on you if you're not backing Detroit.
It is a little bit. A little bit of patriotism, you know, like, hey.
Well, and I wrote in my notes, there's no grittier, manly man with a heart right now than Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, you got to find someone more badass to follow up M&M.
Right.
You go with
right. The only other one is Harrison Ford. If they had a Harrison Ford ad, everyone loves the president as Han Solo, as Indiana Jones. But the only one more badass than that, Clint Eastwood.
And hey, you could maybe be like, you know, driving a Jeep and a Honda pulls up. Get off my freeway.
Yeah, a fist actually comes out of the grill.
Like he does when he plays the president. And what movie was that?
Yeah.
Get off my plane.
Clear and Present Danger. All of those.
Yeah, Get Off My Plane. And then Clint Eastwood has Get Off My Lawn. I mean, that's
true.
Yeah, they're both.
That's true.
They might
badass,
be the same
man.
Guy.
They might be. I've never seen them in the same place.
Nice.
Mm.
Nice.
Car
ads. Back to Chevy. The sheer excitement and joy and laughter at the graduation gift. Was hilarious.
The only thing is, they've showed that one
a couple
weeks ago.
Yeah, they showed it previous, but I loved it, the absurdity of it. And he looks at his girlfriend and goes, I would marry you right now. And she gets on the phone and is like, I'm getting married. I love
that. And then they turn around and the car has been stolen.
And he genuinely is heartbroken. He's like, he just stole my car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chevy, that was good.
The other Chevy
cars
one was
easy
the
to
one.
Steal.
That's the end hanger.
Yeah.
Chevy cars, watch your back.
They didn't trademark like that, like they did the imported from Detroit.
That's true.
So cool, people will steal it. The Chevy Sonic ad I thought was actually pretty good, where they
first kickflip.
Yeah, where
the
they
first,
got
yeah.
used the Fun song. That's the name of the band, Fun.
Yeah.
We Are Young, you know, where they had the barrel roll on the car.
Yeah, and then Okay Go played musical instruments with the car.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That was really, because to me, and it gets, actually, it's kind of a dichotomy to the Ferris Bueller ad that we'll talk about now.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that one.
Is that Chevy was showing, hey, this is a fun car.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, well, and look at all this cool stuff that people are doing in this car, you know.
Yeah,
it's,
and anything
you can't really do it. It's saying this is a fun car to drive.
And anything with Rob Dyrdek gets my vote. That guy cracks me
it's
up.
It's like this is, you know, a fun car to drive.
Yeah, totally.
It's what Ferris Bueller in the original movie thought of the Ferrari 250 GT California. This was a really fun car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the Honda CR-V that
I would say Matthew Broderick looks like a dude that would drive a Honda CR-V. Normally when they cast a celebrity pimping like a vehicle that one of us could afford,
yeah,
if we wanted to buy it,
yeah,
it reeks of like, really?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But he,
like Jennifer Lopez driving a Fiat.
In fact,
right.
I think they even told him, Matthew, do not lose the 30 pounds that you're going to for your next movie. Leave it on for this commercial.
Perfect, dude. This is perfect.
You'll look better in the CR-V.
Yeah.
You'll sell it.
Be the Bueller right now.
That commercial was hilarious.
The 2.5 minute version.
Have you seen the extended version?
No.
Oh, the extended version online.
Because even at the end, when it's all done at the end, he goes, "You're still here? Go home.
Yeah.
Go."
And he does the museum shot where he's just staring at the painting. And,
right.
Yeah. The commercial made me want to watch the movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many little homages to the movie. Yeah. Like when he takes the phone call in the car, the name that shows up is Grace. Which was the secretary of Rooney from the movie.
Even the guy's accent where he drops his keys off at the valet to go park it.
Is the same
is
as the
same
guy.
Accent.
He has the same terrible beard and long hair. Like,
I really enjoy that they didn't call him Ferris, that they actually acted
Broderick.
Because Ferris, I cannot anticipate driving the CR-V.
Right. But Broderick totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It worked. It took an awful lot of hate from people that were they really were critical of it online.
Really?
Yeah, I read.
Well, you just said the most operative term, critical of it online. Online gangsters bother me.
I read a lot of, advertising reviews online, you know, from places that said, it's sacrilege to take a beloved 80s movie and turn it into, this. I really thought it was
it's sacrilege to revere anything in the 80s. That decade was meant to be taken advantage of. Look, man, Hammer Pants, Parachute Pants, the Bobby Brown Gumby haircut. What else is there?
Bobby wasn't in any commercials this year, was he? Did I miss him?
No. Bobby B?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
He might have been an extra in one of them.
Bobby B.
Actually, he played Matthew Broderick. He did a really good job.
Fine job, Bobby B.
He was probably the valet.
Fine job. No, he was the panda.
Yeah, he might have been. He'll take anything for money now.
The Audi Vampire ad aired before the Super Bowl and would have been really good had I not seen it.
They showed it during the game because we saw it during the game.
Oh, they showed it last week.
Did they? I didn't see it before that.
Yeah, I'd seen it. I've seen it, but they showed it on late night, like late night ESPN.
Oh, I got you.
People who can afford Audis don't care about vampires.
I'm so sick of vampires.
That's the only thing that's odd.
Actually, I beg to differ. I coach in an affluent neighborhood, an affluent high school, and those kids drive those cars, and they would totally go road tripping out in the woods with their friends.
And they would buy a car just because
vampires.
Of the headlights.
And vampires. They would.
Although what I'll say about that, Ed, is I hope that the Echo and the Bunnymen song that they use in that kind of gets a second life, like the Nick Drake song did in the Volkswagen ad, years ago, where a lot of people had never heard of him.
True.
And then he became kind of, after he was dead, kind of had a little second career because of that ad.
True.
Because they played it over and over and over again.
Yeah, very true.
Kind of cool if Echo and the Bunnymen, they really haven't been.
That's one of the coolest band names out.
And
what were some other ones?
Another one was...
VW, we'll get to that. I have some problems with it.
The Fiat ad with the swimsuit model.
Which I completely thought was an ad for Rosetta Stone. I'm like,
for Rosetta Stone?
Yes, I should totally learn how to speak French.
Or it was a woman, but it was a car.
Yeah.
It's funny, I thought it was a McDonald's ad for Frappuccinos, because they've had several of them with the foam on the cup getting...
Well, when she's speaking and the guy's against the pole just melting, and I'm like, foreign language is a great idea for 2012. I need to brush up.
And then it's like, oh... It's for the Fiat.
Yeah, when it was the Fiat, I was kind of lost at that point. I mean, it was going the right way until I found out it was a car ad.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
For Fiat.
And there was the Seinfeld ad.
Which was okay until Jay Leno. I'm not...
That was my favorite part, and it was only just him going, Leno,
Yeah. I love that they brought back so many of the staples, though, like the Soup Nazi. And then they ended
Soup
up...
Soup for you.
And then they ended up at the diner. together.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And sitting with the alien and with the soup Nazi and with...
And one of Jerry's classic lines of, oh, give it a rest already, you know.
Typical, can we talk about something else?
Typical end to a Seinfeld episode, so true to his brand.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a 2.5-minute version online of that, too, that has way more.
But I don't think he really wants that car that badly. He seems like he's driving a Porsche.
Well, and my thing is Jerry Seinfeld a car guy? Because why are they making such a big deal of him getting the first NSX? Like, it made sense.
I don't think he is. I mean, he's lived in New York City, and
he's a sneaker guy. Like,
yeah, right.
He's a catch public transportation guy. You see Jerry Seinfeld on the streets of New York regularly.
I mean, it makes sense with Leno because he's a big car collector.
Right. So the correlation of Jerry Seinfeld.
But is that the kind of car Leno collects?
Yeah, he has supercars. Like, okay.
Yeah, he's got a garage full of.
Yeah,
he did classics.
No, he does everything.
A little bit of everything.
I watched one of his shows on.
And rocket squirrel suits.
Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah,
I watched one of his shows, and he has, like, this insanely souped up, like, Riviera or something, and it's got, like, 1,200 horsepower. It's insane.
It's way cooler than anything Jay Leno deserves.
Very true. Very
true. His persona is so, like, you know, jean shirt.
Yeah, denim on denim, dude. He deserves to go away just for that.
Why wasn't the squirrel suit in all denim?
Because then it would have been a better ad.
I think there was every part of that commercial I liked, but every part of that commercial could have been better.
You hear that? Ad people, whoever did that denim squirrel suit, that's when you lost.
That's when you turn it up to 11.
Man. That's a great idea. I would have liked the ad if he had a denim squirrel suit.
I would have liked the denim squirrel suit.
Yeah, no doubt.
I want that. I don't want the car.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Leno.
Yeah. Hyundai Veloster was the one where they had the cheetah, which I thought was clever in that there's a lot of ads, you know, for years where they have an animal race the car to show how fast it is.
Yeah.
But they turned it into a Budweiser commercial.
They did turn it into a
commercial. Which is great.
Yeah. Because the cheetah's like, oh, screw it. I can't beat this car. So it turns around and attacks
the guy.
The handler that released it, which was such a turn from what you expect. Because, like, the first half of the commercial was, well, this is a standard car ad.
It was hopefully unexpected. Like, that's what I was
like,
whoa,
wait. What just happened here?
Yeah. I do like that one. That was good.
It had an unexpected twist, which... Usually you don't see like that in a car ad.
Right.
It was kind of cool. Kia Optima had the dream car for real life, which anytime you can get Motley Crue into an ad, that's...
Anytime you can get Adriana Lima, I'm sorry.
I was upset bad. That Motley Crue sold out for Kia, though. I mean,
right. Now, the Motley Crue, yes.
I was like, is this really the coolest car that Motley Crue can pimp for?
You want to know what's funny about it? Is I didn't even really like the commercial that much, but the lead up to the commercial... They did the photo shoot with Adriana Lima, the Victoria's Secret model. They slowed it down in HD.
Is that where the YouTube clip that was like 2 hours long came from?
5 hours of HD of her waving the flag. 5 straight hours.
And of just that.
They videotaped the like 30-minute photo shoot, and then they put it in super slow-mo HD, and it is literally 5 hours long. It is absurd.
I saw the time on.
And
there's
I know
because
no I.
How would you even upload a video that big?
Go to Steve's house is just on the living room on a loop.
It's on loop. Yeah, I put it in a frame and everything. Just a moving. It's just a moving picture.
Nice. Not getting no work done today.
Yeah, 5 hours of time to kill.
Yeah. Volkswagen had an ad with the dog strikes back was what it was called.
That's the name of it.
Yeah.
That makes me even more angry at it.
What'd you think of that, Ashley?
I hated it. It just, like, I don't, it felt, I didn't, it felt pointless.
Well, it was like two ads in one, really, because you had the first 45 seconds was the dog losing weight to get through the dog door so that he could go chase the car.
And
which,
then
to me, that concept was okay.
Star Wars.
Because, it pans back to the cantina bar.
And to me, that's an admission of failure. That you knew your first part of the ad was so weak, you had to allude to last year's awesome ad.
Well, and didn't they put out some, like, teaser ads?
The barking dogs?
Yeah, the barking dogs thing.
So that was just a teaser, that barking dogs?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Just a teaser.
But it didn't relate to
the
teaser. That teaser, though, as I said, it gets the Homer and Johnny, my pugs, it gets their seal of approval. They have never been more mesmerized by an ad ever.
I put up a tweet last night. Someone brought up a very good point that Vader would never be caught dead.
Shout out to Jamie and Nina over there.
We had the discussion on Twitter. Yeah.
That Vader would never be caught dead strangling someone in the Mos Eisley Cantina.
So, you know, it would have been funny if it would have been the kid in the Vader mask doing it.
Yes! That would
have been good. Because then like, wait a minute, why is Vader? Oh, it's the kid.
But still,
it wouldn't really make sense, yeah, but it would be sense. Funny.
It's still the admission of guilt to me that your ad wasn't strong enough. So this whole time...
I'm going the other way around. I think they spent all the money on Star Wars. They made that, and then they're like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah, yeah. We have a 15-second Star Wars spot that we have to terrible. Fill 1 minute.
You need to do something else for the other 45 seconds.
I think that they had a minute long, and they're like, cut 45 seconds and throw something else in there. This is bad.
You know, they should have just spent the full minute destroying the Phantom Menace 3D.
Well, yeah, yes. But...
Was that in on the movies? Was that an actual...
No, because it wasn't on during the game.
Nope, it was after.
It was pregame or after?
It was after.
Pre-game, I just think it's after. Time to kill the Star Wars Association.
I put up that I admit I agree and I'm still going to see it shamefully. I don't know. I could say I'm not going to, but I'd be lying.
I'll go with you because I don't have anyone to go with.
See? So I'd be lying if I said I wasn't going to go see it.
I don't want to go by myself.
It's like going to see your aunt that you might not like so much, but you got to go because she's family. I can't be a Star Wars freak and skip out on this movie.
I've never seen a 3D movie. This I get my... Be the first.
What?
Yeah, I know, right?
I think this would be a great movie. Now, that if we're switching to movies, this would be a great movie in 3D. Like, more so. Than some of those other movies that they're just like, oh, let's make it 3D for no reason.
The only
guy
Lucas
is going to put the proper money into it.
Well, and I was going to say...
He may not do it right, but he'll put the money into it.
The only guy I can see properly doing a post-3D movie, because the good ones are shot in 3D. Unless Lucas, like Lucas would, shot it in 3D and didn't tell us for 12 years.
It's possible. I wouldn't put it past
But he may also, like, recreate entire scenes digitally.
I could see him doing 3D. It. I could see him
the,
doing
the
it.
Only, the only one other person is James Cameron is likely to, like, because he's going through and redoing Titanic, and he'll probably do a good job of it.
Dude, that would be awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. The Suzuki Kazashi ad with 50 Cent.
He'll re-render Jar Jar.
What'd you think of that?
I didn't even see that one.
I can't even think what that one is either.
The one with where they're in Alaska and it's the Eskimo with his Huskies.
Oh,
and he trades
boring.
In the sled for the Suzuki.
I didn't see it.
And he's rocking up to 50 Cent.
Oh, wow.
And he pulls up with the windows down.
My thing is 50 Cent's not relevant right now. Not that he won't be when he releases his next album, but why 50 Cent?
I don't know.
Like, I don't get it because he doesn't have anything. I don't know if he has something coming out or whatnot. But if you're going to have a musician or a star in an ad, it's usually close to time for something to drop for them so that the relevancy is high.
Has he gained the weight back? Because he was creepy there for a while.
Because he did a kudos to him on that note. He did an excellent job losing weight for that movie where he had to play that. And I mean, he went all in for it. It wrecked his body.
Sunken eyes and everything. Uh-huh. It was bad.
It wrecked his body. So he went all in for that method acting.
I thought the gunshots wrecked his body.
No, those he actually lived through.
Okay.
You needed something on the rap album.
Toyota Camry had an ad with the... Where they reinvented things. They had the couch with the bikini models.
And
the funny thing where they say... It comes also comes in mail.
And I love how he shrugs like...
And he
kind of
has a look like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Whatever.
That was the only part that I liked about that whole ad.
Reinvented baby that's a time machine and it goes back to like, you know...
Yeah.
But they didn't, to me, it didn't really tell me anything what they reinvented on the Camry.
You take their word for it because they're Toyota.
That's because what most car companies say is we reinvented it this year. We put wheels on it. What?
Nice. We reinvented the wheel.
Because
nobody's ever done that before.
Yeah. The only part I liked was the shrug, the little subtle shrug he gave when it also comes in mail.
Because it would look like it was really going towards a sexist place, and then it does that, and it's like...
Left turn at Albuquerque. Nice. Yeah.
Okay. Solid. That was all of the car ads.
Yeah, that was a solid category.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Do we have a consensus on our favorite one?
What do we have it narrowed down to?
Well, we haven't narrowed it down yet.
I like Fiat, only because it was so good that it had me thinking about a different product altogether.
And you like Clint Eastwood.
Definitely. Oh, there it is. That's mine. Yeah, Clint Eastwood.
I'm going Matthew's Day Off.
I can get down with that. I can get behind that.
I would either do Matthew, Matthew Broderick.
Those would be my
like
two choices
Chevy.
Too. Yeah.
Let's leave it at two, and we'll debate both of those for the best of commercial.
Okay, sounds good.
In that category,
cool.
All right. Last category is potpourri. Which is anything else that we haven't talked about already that didn't fit into another category.
Like more Adriana Lima commercials.
I'm okay with that, and you can narrow
it. How did she get two commercials?
I don't know.
What was the other one for?
The other one was for... It was a really bad
ad. Like floral.
The floral, yeah. It was like...
Teleflora.
Teleflora. Yeah. Yeah. It basically said if you're good on Valentine's Day, you're going to get some.
From her.
Hey, I don't care. You know, if sending flowers to my wife means Lima shows up, my wife, she's down. I already asked her.
Okay.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it's probably best. You'd probably be chopping our heads off right now. All
right.
Sexist pigs.
Yeah.
And I just have to take my punishment on that.
She's like, I can't afford Adriana for my boyfriend. I'm a designer. I don't make that kind of cash.
Yeah, Lima over everything.
Anything else in that category? Anything else we haven't talked about?
No.
I didn't know what to put in that category. I had there's always like the NFL commercials.
Right,
Super Bowl,
yeah.
So like there's
right.
that.
There was
NFL
that, which was really
evolution.
Odd because it was like talking about how safe they are. Which
well,
is,
and then
they were touting like, you know, the safety of their equipment and the health of their players.
Well,
which
and
is
I'm
so
sawing,
odd.
that's good. Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah,
and that's like, advertising at its
well,
finest.
Well, and again, it shows a weak moment. It shows like an admission of guilt. Like NFL, really, you're going to put out a commercial on the Super Bowl in which four guys had ACL injuries during the game. About the safety of your equipment and all that, and yeah, that
talking
was
talking about how it's not as dangerous as it seems, everybody.
No, it is.
Now it turns out pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's gladiators and helmets.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, projectile bodies.
Right. Yeah. All right. Now that we've been through the five categories, we're going to go through and take our favorites from each, and then try to pick our favorite ad of the Super Bowl. The favorite ones that we
really have none for the potpourri.
No, we don't, because there really were only a couple that we hadn't discussed. So
did they make a 5-hour version of that Teleflora one too?
We can check. I'm on it. You guys keep talking.
Maybe can we give this one to a local spot? Because Tom Fordham, did you guys see the
Will
Ferrell one?
That's what I forgot to talk about. Yes, let's bring it up. Okay.
Okay, hold on.
Here's potpourri.
No, we're okay.
Hit stop, and we'll go back and redo this.
All right, you guys won't hear the pause, but we're going to stop. We're going to come back, and this is fantastic.
All right,
we're back.
Oh my God!
Will Ferrell did an ad for Old Milwaukee that only aired in North Platte, Nebraska, at their region. What is it? It's like a local station by because they give a couple commercials to local stuff
at halftime.
Yeah,
at halftime, the local stations get like 4 or 5. Usually, it's like you know a car dealer.
We'll have links to this in on 36point.com.
I believe it's because Danny Woodhead, who's a receiver for New England, is from North Platte.
Right.
And Will Ferrell's been doing these ads for Old Milwaukee, and they've aired in Davenport, Iowa. Is the only place that they've aired. He filmed them in Davenport, like a series of 5 or 6 of them.
Hilarious.
And they only air on the local channel. And last night they did one for the Super Bowl that aired in North Platte, Nebraska.
And it's just him walking through a field and cracking an Old Milwaukee.
Wearing boxer shorts, and then they throw him a beer at the end of it, and he goes to open it, and he just gets ready to swear, and then it's the end, and it just abruptly cuts off.
That's awesome.
So there's your potpourri ad. I think
good.
That was good.
That's
so good.
I say it's halftime, it's local buy, but I'll give it.
That was good. I'm in.
Yep.
Apparently, the only reason that he does these ads is because he said he was a fan of their beer. And he called them. He called Pabst, which is who owns Old Milwaukee, and says, hey, this is Will Ferrell. I'm going to do ads for you.
Who would say no to that?
It's like, it's true.
Normally, they just hang up thinking it's a prank.
Right. He's like, I will film them. I will deliver you the files. You can do with them what you want. And he filmed them in Davenport, Iowa, like in the Mississippi, gave them to him. And then they just did a local buy-in, just put them on the air.
How did Old Milwaukee not instantly just put them on YouTube?
Seriously.
Why are they put on YouTube from other people?
Make their own channel.
And a lot of them are not even like a video rip. It's like somebody holding a video camera to their TV. So they're kind of bad video quality.
They could seriously garner so much goodwill putting those on YouTube.
They did nothing like that. I mean, they've been out for at least a year. Because I saw them back home when I was visiting the folks back in Iowa like a year ago. And thought it had to have been a joke.
I think he did it for free beer. Because his production value is $20.
Yeah, if that.
It's like one camera and a mic.
Oh, he got a free intern.
Yeah.
Right, it's like a boom mic and a camera.
Or if you filmed him in Davenport, you know how many people probably would show up to help and film that?
To drink at Old Milwaukee and get their photo with Will?
Yeah.
Completely. I do that.
That's what's funny is there aren't.
It looks like
other
he did them all in one day.
Yeah,
it's all the same lighting. He just drove around Davenport really quickly.
I think he'd have them outdoors, so he didn't even have to buy like actual lighting. It's easier.
Thankfully, it was a sunny day.
That's awesome.
Those are good.
Those are really
so. There's
good.
Your potpourri ad. I think that's
well done.
Since it aired in Nebraska, I think that's a winner.
Good find.
I approve.
All right. The other categories, we started with beverages, and the one that we picked there was the Bud Light ad with the rescue dog.
Okay.
For retail, online, shopping, that category, the one that we picked was the Bridgestone tires.
Yeah.
With the, you know, footballs and basketballs made out of their tire material.
Right.
For movies, we picked the G.I. Joe retaliation clip.
Right.
And for cars,
which would have only been better if they just called it G.I. Joe Volume 1.
Yeah. Or G.I. Joe...
This time it's
the
not,
starters.
Right, yeah.
G.I. Joe, that other movie didn't happen.
Or even better yet, G.I. Joe, the A-Team.
G.I. Joe, Cobra is still rising.
G.I. Joe, Die Hard.
G.I. Joe, Die Hard, yes.
G.I. Joe,
Die Hard with the Mummy.
Because it has Bruce Willis in.
Yes.
Or did they get Brendan Fraser, too?
No. They got The Rock.
Oh.
Brendan Fraser was going to play... He was in the first G.I. Joe.
It was?
He reached up his hand quickly. He was in a passing thing, and he had the Marine tattoo on his arm because he was playing the character Marine, but they had the tattoo on his arm, not on his chest, because he's weak. And so...
He didn't fully submit to the role then.
And it was basically like, why would he take this role? Why would he be a small bit character? He had like one line. It's like, oh, because he's going to be in the sequel is this huge role. And it's like that first movie didn't happen. Yeah. So
he got like Billy Dee Williams playing Two-Face in Batman. Because I want to go...
Billy Dee Williams got a bigger part in the first Batman.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it, essentially...
He never got to play Two-Face.
Right.
Yeah.
He got ripped off.
G.I. Joe, Too Fast, Too Furious.
In fact, I believe what they're doing on the G.I. Joe movie, the thing is, they said that the whole plot is that Cobra comes in and, like, kills all the G.I. Joe guys except for the guys that are in this new movie. So they're like, completely like, oh, nothing else you've seen matters.
Nice.
So that's great.
Nice.
Okay.
So that was the one that we picked for movies. For cars, we had two. We picked the Chrysler Jeep Dodge ad with Clint Eastwood, mm-hmm. Halftime in America.
Yeah, like, get some act right.
Right. And we picked the Fiat ad.
I like Fiat.
No, but, we picked Matthew's Day Off.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
it was Matthew's Day Off.
Matthew Bryan.
Yeah.
So Fiat was number three.
Fiat was three.
So we had Matthew's
Rosetta Stone's Fiat commercial.
Yes, Rosetta Stone's perfect Fiat commercial.
Right, so we had Clint Eastwood and we had Matthew's Day Off.
Yes.
Yeah. So those are the five. The six, including the potpourri one. But
well, let's narrow this down. I'm guessing G.I. Joe and the Rescue Dog can go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's
good.
Hey, you won your best of category. Go home happy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, down to four.
Down to four.
All right, those get bronze medals. Silver medal.
I don't really care.
Bridgestone?
Yeah, I'm good with Bridgestone getting a lower grade.
It's gone. It's gone.
Okay. That one gets a silver medal. That leaves us...
Honestly...
With the two car ads.
I'm going to say the car ads were the best. Yeah.
But Will Ferrell wasn't really regional, so probably can't win best.
So that one gets like an honorable mention.
Yeah, that gets like judge's chair.
There you go. Oh, or were those judges... Steve just judged Spokane,
What up, Spokane? What up?
Those chairs that they give out for the judge's chair awards, the actual awards, do you see those? Those things are hot.
Yeah. They're dope.
Like those literally hot? Like literally
the hot seat?
I'd be afraid to touch them. They're pretty cool looking.
What up, we bespoke?
We wanted to give the judge's chair to the judge's chair award. We didn't. But it was like, it'd be so meta.
It would be meta.
it'd be meta world peace.
Meta world peace, Madonna's halftime show.
Nice.
Yeah.
So out of the two car ads, which one do we like the best?
That's
tough.
You've got like the best comedy ad and the best drama ad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Boom. Head to head.
Both legendary actors for their own reasons. Both highly memorable for their own reasons. Both drawing on history in their own way. Wow, that's a showdown.
I'm going Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood had a 2-minute commercial.
Yeah.
But there was a 2.5-minute. So they're both epic commercials, lengthwise, for commercials.
Yeah, see, I have a problem going against Broderick just because of the pop culture reference of Ferris Bueller. It's so wide. And Clint Eastwood's for a good reason. It just felt like Jesus told Clint Eastwood to come tell us to act right.
I'm gonna go with Matthew's Day Off because it felt new, even though it was, you know, it wasn't expected. Yeah. The Clint Eastwood one to me felt like they didn't do the Eminem one last year.
Ah, good point.
You know?
It had gravitas, but it was kind of on borrowed
right.
It was
sentiment.
Continuing something that they started previously. Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad thing, though.
It isn't.
Well, I'm, like, but we're looking at, I'm just saying that that to me makes the Matthew's Day Off just over the Clint Eastwood in my all book. Right.
I really like them both. I'm playing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is hard.
Yeah.
Because it's not like
Clint Eastwood, like, elections right now, political, and he's like, let's draw together
can
America,
we vote for him for president?
Regression.
Is he running?
Which, why has no candidate used the halftime in America as a, in a political ad? That would be genius.
Yeah, it would.
I don't know.
While wearing a denim squirrel suit.
Yeah, I'd vote for the squirrel suit.
I don't know. I like them both.
I definitely like all of the, I mean, that was some definite heavy, you know, get it together, let's all be together. My only reason for thinking Ferris Bueller is that that's not what a Super Bowl ad is made of.
That's a good point.
Good. That would have been a perfect ad for right after the Super Bowl. Look at us. We're all together. The economy's up for one night. We spent how much on beer and
chips. No, it was this is halftime at the game. It's halftime in America. I the timing on that one was perfect.
Yeah, timing was good. But then if it's halftime at the game, we even had to haggle over whether or not it was counted as a Super Bowl ad because it's halftime.
Tom, where are you leaning here?
We got two votes. You guys have said for Ferris Bueller.
Yeah,
so I mean, kind of the deciding.
But everyone's close.
Yeah,
and if it dead heats, I don't think anyone would be upset.
If it
with
dead
that.
Heats, fucking Thunderdome right outside.
Thunderdome,
nice. Two commercials leave. Two commercials enter. One commercial leaves.
Yeah.
Thunderdome. I totally ruined that line.
The beauty is, Ferris Bueller wouldn't show up.
He'd call in sick. Yeah, he would.
Nice.
Yeah, he would. And then he'd go get some lunch, maybe drive a classic car, yep. sing at a little bit of a parade.
I got to go with Clint. I got to go with Detroit.
Dead heat?
Oh. I got to go with Detroit. I really like that ad.
All right.
What's your reasons?
You know, are we going to do what we did last year? Was best comedy, best drama, just...
Split the vote.
That's good.
Two trophies.
Yeah. It sounds like a cop-out, but it sounds like what Ferris Bueller would do.
Hey, we can do what we want.
It isn't a cop-out because it's our show. We can do what we want.
We can do what we want.
Making up our own rules.
You don't like
that
it?
That sounds like Clint Eastwood.
That sounds
like it is. It's like Dirty Harry.
Oh, no. Did we just vote for Clint Eastwood on badassery alone?
But it's a boom, boom. Ooh, yeah. I mean, that's pretty...
Love it.
Okay.
It's just too close to call.
Too tight.
We're splitting it. Best drama, best comedy.
Done.
Done.
Good.
Can we end the podcast with that song?
Boom, boom.
Do you have the rights to that?
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
See, I think because four different people just did the sounds, we don't have to pay for the rights.
True.
Because then it's just four people beatboxing.
Yeah, I wasn't singing that song, were you?
I'm pretty sure I saw on Twitter that's how it works. Are you on Twitter yet, Ashley?
I am.
Ashley,
what
are you on Twitter?
What? I am.
Where
are
you
on? Ashley McFeely. Look me up.
Of course. Look it up.
Ashley McFeely.
Straight to the point.
McFeely says, act right.
There's no frills on that.
All right. Great.
Then Ashley, again, you couldn't do frills on
Steve,
your name. That's an awesome name.
Thank you for being on the show.
You bet. Thanks for having us.
Once again, everybody, March 5th here at 11:19. And then the second Wednesday of April at the Homie Inn.
Shaw.
After work. Meet us there.
Look forward to it.
For 36 pints. Where Steve will be drinking 36 pints.
I will. Don't even sweat it. I will.
Homie in.
It's classic.
Does it say 36 pints of what? Because I totally want some framboise on tap. 36
pints. They don't
serve
that in the pint glass, though. They do have it on tap there, but...
They'd give it to you in a pint glass if you asked them for it.
Probably.
I'd ask them.
They will sell you a picture of it. A pitcher's like 35
pints
or something.
Yeah, the pitcher's way up there.
Get a pitcher of champagne, pitcher of rum and coke, pitcher of framboise.
Let's do it. I'm in.
All right.
Awesome.